And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I shall read from the book of the Revelation, chapter 19, beginning at verse 11. But before we read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful today for this wonderful opportunity to preach the Word of God, to voice the truth, to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Thy marvelous grace. We pray just now that as this broadcast fills the air, that men all over the Metroplex and wherever this station reaches today would be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. In this week of prayer, we pray that people all over this city and all over the Metroplex will be in prayer for revival in America, beginning right here in the great city of Fort Worth. May this be our prayer, and may this our petition be answered, as we ask it in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 19, at verse 11, we read, And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in this message we will treat the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Revelation glory, the fighting of the Battle of Armageddon, to begin the great kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible establishes the coming of Christ as an actual fact. It is an undeniable, indisputable, irrevocable truth. The message of the second coming of our Lord Jesus is interwoven throughout the fiber of biblical revelation. And you know, I feel very strongly about this, because I believe every word of the Bible. I accept without hesitation and without reservation the verbal inspiration of the Scripture. I believe the Word of God is inspired book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line by line, word by word, syllable by syllable, and letter by letter. The Lord Jesus Christ is indeed coming. He is coming visibly, bodily, and personally. He's coming just as He went away, in the Shekinah cloud of glory. The brilliance of the coming of our Lord Jesus will be brighter than the noonday sun. Jesus Himself said, As the lightning cometh out of the east and goeth unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. This is no allegory. This is not a fairy tale. This is no fable, it is not fiction or fantasy, it is not a dream or a delusion. This is the truth. It's just as true as God is true. Jesus Christ is coming. Therefore, in the midst of a world gone mad, I admonish you to look up, Christian. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming again. We believe the coming of Christ will be in two phases. Phase one, we believe He will come in rapture for His saints, the Bible says, as a thief in the night. In phase two of His coming, we believe His coming will be with His saints to establish His kingdom of righteousness and peace upon the earth. We believe this coming will be premillennial. We believe it will be judgmental, and we believe it will be governmental. We believe in His second phase He will come openly, visibly, publicly, victoriously, and triumphantly. As it is written in the book of God, Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. It is of this coming, His revelation in glory with His saints to establish His kingdom, that I speak of in this message. In my text, out of the book of the Revelation, chapter 19, there's a beautiful, a magnificent word picture. It is a many-splendored thing. John pictures Jesus Christ as coming on a white horse. Now, in the Oriental mind, the white horse was a symbol of war, of conquest, and victory. Jesus is called in this text, faithful and true. What an appellation for the Son of God, and how magnificently He wears it. John says His eyes shall be a flame of fire, penetrating and piercing with the exactness of a divine judge. Upon His head will be many crowns. In the days of His flesh He was crowned with thorns. When He comes again, He'll be crowned with royal diadems, bedecked with the jewels of heaven. Shall He not wear the crown of deity? He is the divine one. Shall He not wear the crown of righteousness? He is the righteous one. Shall He not wear the crown of faithfulness? He's the faithful one. Shall He not wear the crown of mercy? He is the merciful one. His will be a crown of love, because He's the altogether lovely one, a crown of life, because He's the living one, and a crown of victory, because He is the victorious one. His name shall be called the Word of God. Behind Him and following Him will be the armies of heaven, made up of the regiments of the redeemed of all the ages. John says that out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, with which He shall smite the nations. And His title shall be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Behold, He cometh in victorious array. Behold, He cometh with thousands of His saints. Behold, He cometh, and His reward is with Him. When He comes the second time, He will come not to be born in a manger as a creature. He will come to give birth to a new world as a creator. He comes not to convict with a gospel. He comes to conquer with a sword. He comes not to die on a cross. He comes to live on a throne. Why will there be such a scene as this? Why such majestic glory? Why is He coming with such an array of might and power? The answer is found in verse 11. He is coming to judge and to make war. You see, war is not evil in itself. It's the circumstances that make war evil. Our God is indeed a God of battle. We read in Exodus chapter 15 at verse 5, "The Lord is a man of war." This battle that we speak of, the Battle of Armageddon, will be the final battle of this age, and preparations are now being made for it. The pavement is already laid. The path is already made for Armageddon to be fought. The one who leads in this war will be none other than the conqueror of conquerors, the warrior of warriors, the victor of victors. What's His name? His name is Jehovah Hoshea, Jesus the Savior. He's the mighty man of valor. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Commandant of heaven. He's the captain of our salvation. This war is the Battle of Armageddon. It shall be the final conflict between good and evil. It is spoken of throughout the Holy Record. Joel speaks of it in his third chapter, verses 9 and 10. Zechariah speaks of it in Zechariah 14, verse 1 through verse 3. Paul the Apostle speaks of it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. Through verse 10. This great battle, the Battle of Armageddon, there are three questions that arise concerning the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the fighting of the Battle of Armageddon. First of all, where will this battle be fought? The answer, in the Valley of Megiddo. It is called a Mount of Slaughter. It is known also as Jezreel, Esdraelon, and Jehoshaphat. Many, many battles have been fought in this valley. There, Barak fought against Sisera. There, in the valley of Megiddo, Gideon fought against the Midianites. Pharaoh fought against Josiah. There, such great kings as Shalmaneser, Sennacherib, Sargon, Tiglath-Pileser, Nebuchadnezzar, and Alexander the Great have fought. There, in 1918, during World War I, General Allenby defeated the Turks. Napoleon said of the Valley of Megiddo, and I quote, "It is the most natural battlefield on earth." The Bible vividly describes that great valley. It is a plush valley in the land of Israel where this great and final conflict shall be fought. The second question arises, who will be involved in this great battle? This war, this battle of Armageddon, will involve all the armies of the earth. The central city will be Jerusalem. The central nation will be Israel. It will be the last attempt on the part of the Gentile structure of nations to annihilate the people of God. But remember, God made a covenant with Abraham that his people, Israel, would be forever. In Zechariah 12:2, we read, "Jerusalem will be a cup of trembling to all nations." In Zechariah 12:8, it is written, "The Lord shall defend Jerusalem." In Zechariah 12:9, "God will destroy all the nations that come up against Jerusalem." And in Zechariah 14:3, we have these wonderful words, "Then shall the Lord go forth to fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." This is a war against God and against his anointed, against the Lord Jesus Christ. The crisis in the Middle East is setting the stage for the coming of this great battle. The Russians in the last 10 years have poured $10 billion of armament to the Arab nations. No doubt the United States has given an equal amount to Israel to maintain a balance of power. The nations that are now gathering in the Mediterranean, the nations like the United States, Russia, Britain, France, and all the other great powers, these nations now gathering in the Mediterranean are gathering there to lay siege against Jerusalem. Jerusalem has been the most sacked city in all of history. No less than 46 times this city has been attacked. In 714 B.C., Sennacherib and the Assyrians marched against this city. In 586 B.C., the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem. And in 70 A.D., the Romans under Titus completely destroyed the city and the temple, which as of this moment has never been rebuilt. In this final battle, the Battle of Armageddon, all the nations, not just the Romans or the Babylonians or the Assyrians, but all the nations of earth, according to verse 19, will be gathered there. There shall be the kings of the north. I believe these kings to be Russia and her satellites. The kings of the south. No doubt that's Egypt and the United Arab Republic. The Bible speaks of the kings of the east. No doubt that's China and India with their teeming millions. And the Bible speaks of the kings of the West. This, I believe, refers to the United States and her European allies. These nations, all nations of the earth, from north to south, from east to west, the nations of earth drawn into the valley of Jehoshaphat to war against the Lord. The third question, what will be the outcome of the Battle of Armageddon? When the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes on the scene, everything is going to be changed. These armies from all over the earth, converging upon Israel, will be surprised. Now they think they're going to be fighting against Israel, and in a measure they will be. But in reality, they will have gathered there against the Lord, against God, against Jesus Christ. And just before they deal the death blow upon Jerusalem and upon the nation of Israel, something is going to happen. There will be an intervention from above, a supernatural intervention. Our commander-in-chief will appear. The Lord Jesus Christ will split the sky in majestic glory, and with the brightness of his coming, he will destroy and demolish the nations of earth, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. All of this is written in the book of the Revelation, Chapter 14 at verse 20, Revelation 16, verse 14 through 16, and Revelation 19, verse 17 through 21, that I read a moment ago. You see, all of these verses in the Revelation, and I'll repeat them. Revelation 16, 14 through 16, Revelation 14, 20, and Revelation 19, 17 through 21. These give the account of the destruction of the kings of the earth, of the Antichrist and the false prophet. In this battle of Armageddon, which John does not even describe, it happens so quickly. In a flash, it'll be over. Jesus Christ will be the victor, and the Hallelujah chorus will sing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all." John says the kingdoms of this world, that is the nations, the powers, the governments of this world, will become the kingdoms of our Lord, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. What a wonderful day that's going to be. And all Christians are going to be on the winning side then. There'll be no doubt about it. No question as to who's going to win the victory. Jesus Christ wins the victory and assures victory for every born-again believer. Oh, what a day that's going to be. My friend, if you are not ready for that hour, if you are not ready for the return of the Lord Jesus, I want you to know that you can be. You don't have to join the church. You don't have to be baptized. Now, these things are good, and you ought to do them. But all you need do this moment is confess your sins to God. Open the door of your heart. Invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Pray the sinner's prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this moment, God will save you. My footnote today is in the form of a poem that I wrote some years ago entitled, "Behold, He Cometh." Behold, He cometh, shout it far and wide. Behold, He cometh, all evil to subside. Behold, He cometh, look up, Christian, look up. Behold, He cometh with fury in His cup. Behold, He cometh, the choir of heaven sings. Behold, He cometh with healing in His wings. Behold, He cometh, let the earth rejoice. Behold, He cometh with joy in His voice. Behold, He cometh, watch Babylon fall. Behold, He cometh, crowned Lord of all. Behold, He cometh with wind and fire and flood. Behold, He cometh, I'm saved through His blood. Now, my friend, as we leave the broadcast today, we want to say to you once again that it would be our joy to have you come and visit our services at Worth Baptist Church. Remember, we're located at 3309 Wilbarger Street. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock, our morning worship hour at 11, our Sunday evening worship hour at 7, as we continue in the series of messages based on the revelation entitled 1975 in Prophecy. Tonight at 7 o'clock, chapter 20, The Binding of Satan. We'd be more than happy to have you in all of these services today. And remember, this is our week of prayer, and next Sunday, Revival Rally Day. Be in prayer this week for revival in America and revival in our city and in our churches. Until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And, as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.